we prayed in the leadership morning meeting this morning that people would be drawn to this place. And then as we were worshiping in prayer, I just felt the Lord asking me to pray that people would show up here not even knowing why they're here or what this is. I just felt the Lord, just this strong calling, just calling people here. Just come. Because I believe that He wants freedom and abundance for every single one of His children. So anyways, keep your eye on the door in case the hordes start pouring in. I have a couple of announcements and then we will pray and get started. Check me out. My voice is getting stronger by the minute. You guys hear that? If you heard me an hour ago, you'd know it's better than it was an hour ago. couple of announcements. We for those of you that are new, we have just a small donation that we ask you to give if you can, just to cover the cost of the notebooks and making copies and the little postcards that we send home. So there's not a lot that, this isn't a very expensive study. But if you can give $5 each, that would help. That's really all we need, I think, to cover our expenses. Sometimes people desire to give more, and that's great, too. I'm getting there. Oh, sorry. We don't have the collection baskets out this week. We will have them out next week. So we wanted to give you time to remember, you know, to bring your money, bring your wallet, bring your checkbook. If you're like me and you're like, wait, I have money today and there's a 50-50 chance I'll have money next week. Who knows? That's okay. We get it. You can give your $5 today at the end of our time. But the reason that we're, one of the reasons we're not asking for donations today is because Miss Carolee, would you wave your hand? Has brought some things this morning, right, to share with us. Would you just, can you do it, give us the 2 minute? Of what it is and where it's from. And
I brought some products. I had an open house for Mercy House. It's a ministry that we support in Kenya. And the Mercy House is a safe house for pregnant teens that escape from trafficking. And so if they're in trafficking and they're pregnant, they're forced to have an abortion or they're forced to give their newborn up to be sold. And so when they are found, they are brought to this house, they're given medical aid, they're taught how to be a mother because most of them didn't have mothers, and they're taught a new skill. And so they go through a two-year program, they get educated, and they learn the skill. And so these products, some of them are made in Kenya from these women. Some of them are made in different countries to empower women and give them fair trade prices. So this is just some of the products. There's earrings and necklaces and bags. And prices are usually under 20. I think there's a couple purses for 30. But this is just kind of leftover, and I'm shipping it back this week. And I thought, hey, if you're interested, you can check it out.
Thank you. Whatever she doesn't sell, she ships back. So we were just trying to get it all sold. Ha! Can you imagine a better cause to support? I can't. That's right. What if you got all your shopping done before the end of October? Okay, so that's going to be available at the very end of our time. She'll probably set it up around maybe 11:10. And so if you have money with you today, spend it on that, please. The Lord will provide for us. We're not worried. So, but we will be collecting donations next time. And $5 is all we suggest that you donate. Second thing that I wanted to just mention real quick, if you do have kiddos, we have childcare available. If you know someone that wants to come or you think would, is available, but they, you know, they have kids, so they're not sure if they should come, please make sure they know that we have childcare. It's free. It's available for kids ages newborn through, I think they stop at 5 or 6. And all you need to do for that is to just make sure that you sign up. Or if your friend wants to come, they can call the church office and just let them know that they have kids and would like to be here next week, and they will make the arrangements for them. When you go to pick up your kids at the end of the morning on Tuesdays, just make sure you let them know. They usually remember to ask, are you coming back next week? But if they don't, make sure you let them know, I'll be here next week, and then you don't have to worry about calling. On your, if you would grab your homework real quick. You should have a page, this week's, thank you. Is it two pages? So your homework for next week looks a little different because we had some technical difficulties. Truly, it disappeared. So it's front and back, one sheet. But it looks a little different, you'll probably notice, than what our homework usually looks like. So we're just going to add a few things real quick. Right at the top, that's okay. Right at the top, you're just going to write partner prayer requests. That's what's usually at the top of our homework each week. If you look back at last week's, you'll see it there. We put the partner, this is so great that it didn't get included on the homework because I was going to explain all this stuff today anyways. So this gives me a really good way to do that. So we always put partner prayer requests right at the top of the homework. And the purpose of that is that we want you praying for someone all week long, someone else. So your leaders at your table are going to be helping you pair up with one other person at your table this week. If there's an odd number, you can do a group of three. And you will be writing down that person's prayer request at the end of the table time this morning. And it's your job. It's your job to pray for that person all week long. Pray for their prayer request. And then bring back, write down anything you hear from the Lord about them and bring it back and share it with them next week. Okay? At the bottom of your homework, on the back side, if you look at last week's, there's two things. The first one says, Kairos moment. And if you don't know how to spell that, it's K-A-I-R-O-S. And it says in parentheses on last week's homework, an encounter with God. So I wanted to just take a minute. Go ahead and write that on the bottom of your homework, Kairos moment. And the second thing that's at the bottom of your homework is my prayer request. Thank you. So write those things, jot those things down on today's homework so that you are reminded. The purpose of writing down your own prayer request each week is so that you have an opportunity to come back to it. So 3 weeks from now, you can come back and you can look at the prayer requests you've made each week. And you can share places where the Lord has showed up for you and answered your prayer. And that testimony can be powerful for the other women at your table. It can encourage the person that was praying for you. And it can build all of us up in our faith. So that's why we write down our prayer requests. And then the Kairos moment. Kairos is something that was come up with by someone else. Not me. And all it is just a way of staying focused on looking for God, basically, in your daily life. So you're listening for what the Lord has to tell you, and you're looking for encounters with God. And sometimes that comes in your quiet time in the morning when you're reading the Bible, or your quiet time at night, whenever you might have time to be with the Lord. It might come in your car when you're listening to worship music and all of a sudden something just hits you and you can become overwhelmed with the knowledge of God's goodness or with the knowledge that He's with you. That can be a Kairos moment. Sometimes it's bigger. Sometimes it's a big answer to prayer. Sometimes it's an encounter where the Lord brings you face to face with another person that needs God. and he shows you, the Lord tells you how to be Jesus for that person. And you obey. You listen to what the Lord's telling you to do, and then you do it. And you get to see how the Lord uses that situation. That can be a Kairos moment. Or sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes you're the one that's needing the Lord, and someone shows up in your life and has just the right thing to say, right, for you. So it can be small things, and it can be really big things. It can be, you know, someone being healed from cancer, or it can be, you know, your little one asking Jesus to heal his scraped knee. It's not like it has to be something life-changing in order for it to be a Kairos moment, okay? It can be something very small, something that you, just a place where you encounter God, where the presence of the Lord was clearly visible in your life, where you knew for sure that he was with you in that moment, okay? That's the Kairos moment. You're looking for those throughout the week, and when you have one, or multiple of them, you write them down on your homework so that you will remember, because if you're anything like me, those sorts of things don't necessarily stick in your memory, right? Lots of things don't stick in my memory. So that's why we write them down. That's what a Kairos moment is. Any questions about any of that? Give me a thumbs up if you feel good about what you're supposed to be writing down at the top and bottom of your homework. Okay, good. That's called teacher feedback. Checks for understanding. All right. I'm going to pray with you guys. Is that everything? Did I miss anything? I did. Okay. Oh, wonderful. Do you want to explain that? Stop. Stop. No, it's not.
They called me Foghorn Clancy when I was growing up. I know how to project my voice. We're going to send a sheet around. You can sign up for individual prayer. If you don't sign up, we'll sign you up. So, I mean, it's not really optional, but you can put your name on the list, and, you know, and we'll take you in order, and we'll be doing that. Yeah, no. I mean, any of you that got prayer last year, you know that God is really, really good. And so you don't have to have a particular need. But anyway, that's how we're doing it this year. So,
thank you. Yeah.
How many people will you be able to pray for a week?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
So the sign-up sheet that's going around just has a list, a numbered list. It doesn't. Okay. If you, I want to add this. If there is a specific date that you know you would prefer to be prayed for, you know there's something big coming up in your life and you would like prayer at a specific date, or you know you're going to be out of town on other days, but you will definitely be here on a specific date, please write that down. If there is a Tuesday that would work best for you, or when you specifically know you'll need prayer, write that date down and we will accommodate you, right? Yes, we will. Okay, prayer. Bow your heads with me. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for your presence in this place. Lord, it has just been overwhelming this morning. I thank you for the word that Sharon got, that you are right in the midst of us, that you are walking between the tables, that you are touching each woman, that you see each of us and you care about us, you care about what we're struggling with, you care about what we're going through. And I just feel this this burning, Lord Jesus, that you have in your heart for freedom, just a burning to see every single woman set free from the places where she is bound. I thank you that your abundance, Lord, is our great reward, that we get to live in your abundance day in and day out. And I just thank you that we that my words would be your words today, Lord Jesus, and that we would all come into a greater understanding of what it means to live abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The heart of the Lord is so strong this morning. It just is. I'm trying not to cry because I don't have waterproof mascara on. Dang it. I lost my waterproof mascara. I'm on the B-tube. You know what I'm talking about? You got an A-tube and a B-tube? Yeah, like your favorite and then your backup? I'm on the backup. It's not as good. Abundance. The Lord has been schooling me in this for the whole year. It's been last year, my word of the year, if you were with me, you know, was fierce. And I didn't take it seriously enough, I don't think, last year. I am not a fierce person by nature. I mean, well, that's not true. I think maybe I am a fierce person by nature, but that there was, that part of me was not developed growing up and in my early, you know, younger adult years. And so being fierce felt really foreign to me. It felt aggressive and negative in a way. You know what I mean? And so it was hard for me to step into that. The Lord was clearly calling me into it, and I hesitated. Have you guys ever been there where the Lord is calling you up into something and you hesitate and you hold back and you're not sure? So I hesitated, and the Lord still taught me. He's good that way. But I think I really have become convinced, and you can call me crazy if you want. That's okay. I don't care. But I've become convinced that part of the reason that I fell last year and got a severe concussion and was, you know, was unable to work, was unable to care for my children for several weeks, was because I hadn't learned what I was supposed to learn that year. That I hadn't finished my training in fierceness. Because the concussion broke something free in me. And I can't explain it. It doesn't make logical sense. But ever since then, it is easy for me to step into fierceness. And I speak out things that I would have been too afraid to speak out in the past. And ask my sister here that's known me forever. She keeps saying, I like post-concussion, Kelly. Sassy. Yeah, fierce. It like broke something off. And all of a sudden it was easy for me to step into that place of being fierce. So this year, after having learned that lesson, I was like, Lord, I don't want to go through anything like that again. Right? Let's try the cooperation route this year as opposed to the hesitation resistance route. And I'll tell you, when the Lord gave me the word abundance at the beginning of last year, I think I might have shared this earlier, but I said no. When I was asking the Lord, what's my word for this year? This is the third year I've done this. If you've never done this, it's really fun. I would encourage you to do it this year. I do it at the beginning of in January, because that makes sense to me, but you could do it anytime. I would encourage you to try it. It's really fun. So when I was asking the Lord, what's my word for this year? He said, abundance. And I said, no. I said, I had this ick, you know, like money and greedy and ick. Like, I don't want that. And so I was like, okay, that's not it. Give me a different word. praying. And this other stuff kept coming into my mind. I was like, that doesn't really feel right. That doesn't feel right. And then, you know, a couple days later, abundance. I'm like, nah. I was whiny about it. That scares me. I think it was the third time. So the first time I was no. The second time I was like, meh, no. And then the third time I was like, okay, fine. It'll be my word for the year, whatever. But as I was learning this lesson, as I was recovering, this is at the same time I was recovering from my concussion, and learning this lesson, and I was thinking, I'm not doing that again. So abundance scares me to death, but I'm going to walk into it anyways. Right? School me. School me in what I need to understand about abundance. And so literally the Lord said, all right, I'm putting you in abundance school. And all of a sudden, everything that I came across was about abundance. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had that happen before? So I'd like, I feel like listening to a sermon today. And I'd go online and look through the podcast and turn one on. That sounds good. It doesn't know, you know, nothing in the title, gave it away. But all of a sudden, I'm listening to this guy talking about abundance. This preacher, right? And then I hear songs on the radio that are about it. And then people start random conversations with me about it. And it's all of a sudden just are all around me, right? And I'm in school. And the thing, I have really learned some interesting things. And the first one that I want to share with you this morning is that it's critical that you set aside your own personal ideas or anything that you've been taught about abundance being bad. Abundance is not a bad thing. It's not bad to desire abundance for yourself and your family and the people around you. And I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about abundance in every area of your life, an abundance of energy, an abundance of joy, an abundance of time. When I was thinking about this and asking the Lord, what is abundance? What does that look like in the kingdom? And this is what I heard him say. Abundance is being able to be the person that you were created to be without reservation. And being able to do the things that the Lord is calling you to do without limits. That's the definition of abundance. Yes. Being able to be the person you were created to be. And being able to do the things the Lord is calling you to do without any limits. Being able to be the person you were created to be. And being able to do the things the Lord is calling you to do without limits. Without saying, I'd really love to do that, Lord, but I don't have the time. I'd really love to do that, Lord, but I don't have the money. I'd really love to do that, Lord, but my husband says no. Without limits. So living abundantly is living this life where whatever the Lord is calling you into, you can say yes to. Because you have whatever you need to do it. And there's the people that the Lord was calling in. Hi, Sarah. Sarah Huck, you are at table 2. Thank you. Right here, lady. We're so happy you're here. There's a chair right there. Rachel's got it all set up for you. So we are going to talk a little bit today about what it means to usher in abundance, what it means to create an atmosphere where abundance can exist. And we're going to talk just a little bit about some of the things that can block abundance, that can set up roadblocks to what the Lord wants to give you. Okay? The first part of the homework was talking about the story in Matthew 25, where the Lord is telling a parable about talents. And talents, back in that day, was a type of money that was used. Oh, I don't want to use my phone. I want to use my real Bible. There we go. That's way easier. Phones are so convenient, and I love them, and they're light and way easier to carry around than Bibles, but sometimes you just want the Bible, right? Do you ever print stuff off just because you can't stand to read it on the computer? Yes. I might need a tissue. Is there one? Someone hand me one. Thank you. For those of you that weren't here last week, I was in the process of not getting sick. That's what you say when you believe in the Lord. My body wants to get sick, but the Lord is going to keep me from getting sick. And I never got really sick, by the way. I got just a little bit sick. And then I went on a very big trip and lost my voice. And yeah, I was in Vegas. I'll tell you about that here in a minute. Okay, so this is Matthew 25, starting with verse 14. And it says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now this, when I really made the decision, it was around May, I finally said, okay, yes, Lord, teach me whatever you want to teach me about abundance. This was one of the first things that I came across. As I was visiting somebody else's church, and this story just struck me like a knife in the heart. Because even though back in the day talents was money, when I think talents, I think gifts, right? What the Lord has given you. And the Lord said, are you taking what I'm giving you and burying it in the ground? Where it doesn't serve anyone. And I just got this overwhelming sense of how much that would break the Lord's heart if what he's given you ends up buried in the ground. And maybe you think you're keeping it safe. Or maybe you think you're keeping yourself safe or keeping your family safe. But it is not pleasing to the Lord. So I was weeping in somebody else's church when I heard this story, and just said, oh Lord, do not let me be the man that buries the talent in the ground. Heaven forbid that that would be me. Don't ever let me do that. I asked you in the homework to think about what the Lord has entrusted you with. What are your talents? And then I asked you the question, would you say you're like the servant with 5 talents or the servant with 2 talents or the servant with 1? Which I think is an interesting question for us to think about. I think I would say the majority of us, if you asked us, we would say that we have a little bit to offer, but we're not, you know, like a Benny Hinn or, you know, one of the greats, you know, that has 5 talents. I asked you this question, but because I think mindset is really important about this. I think that as you believe, so you are. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this in a minute, but what goes on between your 2 ears is more important than anything else in your life, really and truly. Because what goes on in your mind is going to direct the course of your life. So I would say that each of you is the servant with 5 talents. And if you don't believe that, if you hear me saying that and you have a check in your heart or in your mind where you think, she doesn't know me. If she knew me, she wouldn't say that. Then I'm telling you that you are struggling with the spirit of poverty. And lucky for you, next week, Robin Stuber is going to be preaching about that and will help you break that off of you. Because the truth is that every one of us has 5 talents. We are the Lord's army. We are the children of the King. And he has gifted us differently not all the same, but I believe that he has gifted each one of us with the five talents. And it's our job to steward that, right? Go ahead. That's $1,920,000.
We're millionaires.
Ha ha! We're millionaires. Woot woot. It's interesting. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. It's interesting that in the story, this is a master giving this to his servants. So just imagine that for a second. A man who's clearly extremely wealthy, giving 1 million, what was it? 1,920,000 dollars to a servant. To a servant. Servants aren't necessarily loyal, right? It's not like your son. It's not like your family or your good friend. A servant is someone that you pay to work for you. Anyways, he gave all this money to each of these three servants. And it says that the first one, who received the 1 million whatever dollars, went at once and put the money to work and gained the same amount back. So he took the $1 million and he doubled it. Made it into $2 million. The one with two talents took it out, put it to work, got back two more. Again, doubled it. The man with one talent dug a hole in the ground and hid it. Listen to why. This is really interesting. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received five talents brought the other five. Master, he said, you entrusted me with five talents. See, I have gained five more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness, abundance. The man with two talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two talents. See, I have gained two more. The master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is that the master's response to the man with the five talents and the man with the two talents was the same. Exactly the same. It doesn't matter what you've been given. It's what you do with it that counts. Right? Okay. So, this is what he says to the other guy. The other guy. Don't be the other guy. The man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. See, here it is. I'm giving you back what belongs to you. And his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back at least with interest. So in other words, even if you can't go out and double it, at least leave it someplace where it'll earn a little bit. Right? And then he said, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now there's a lot of different biblical scholars that talk about, you know, what this parable is referencing, but what we're focusing on today is the abundance piece. So I think it's interesting the master's response to the man who still had. He hadn't lost it. He hadn't gone out and gambled it. He hadn't given it away. He hadn't gone and bought a bunch of pigs, right? He hadn't squandered what the Lord had. He had just buried it. He had kept it safe. And he had done that because he was afraid. because he believed something that was not true about who his master was. He said, I believed you were a hard man. And so I hid it and kept it safe. This is what gets us into trouble with this abundance mindset. We believe that the Lord is hard. We believe that he desires for us to have to go through hardships. We don't truly believe with our whole heart that he is good. Guess what? I would be willing to bet 10 to 1 that if that master came back and the guy with the 5 talents said, you know what? I invested it, and I thought I'd invested smartly, and I did everything I could, but I lost that money. I think the Lord still would have said, well done, good and faithful servant. Right? You tried. You went out there. You put yourself out there. You used what I gave you to the best of your ability. I don't think it's the end result that matters. I think it's the state of your heart that matters. And so when it comes to using what the Lord has given you, I would challenge you today to ask the Lord, what is it that you have entrusted me with, Lord, and am I using it the way that you want me to? And if there's any place in you where you, if there's any place in you where you feel afraid when you think about who the Lord is, or what he wants to give you, what he has given you, or how you're supposed to use it, I just want to break that off right now. So close your eyes. Lord, I just ask if there is a place in any of us where we feel afraid. Afraid of you, or afraid of getting it wrong, or afraid of using what you've given us, Lord Jesus. I just thank you, Lord, that that fear is a lie from the enemy. In this day, Lord, we refuse to partner with those lies. We refuse to be afraid. We speak out, Lord Jesus, that you are a good and kind and loving Father. And that what you've given us is to be shared, Lord. So I just break off any fear in this place this morning. Any perfectionism, the spirit of perfectionism in the name of Jesus, I break you off. And in its place, Lord Jesus, would you give each one of us something that we can hold on to? Show us, Lord, how you want us to be using the gifts and talents that you've given us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you heard something specific for you, if the Lord identified a place in you where you've been stuck in fear, where you've been holding back, burying something because of your own fears, would you write it down today? And then remind yourself that you've broken off your agreement with that lie, with that fear. As you go through this next week or month or year, remind yourself that the Lord has given you something better to replace that fear with. And walk boldly into it in the name of Jesus. There's a couple of things. When we talk about the kingdom of God, if that's something that's unfamiliar to you, the kingdom of God is, what we're saying is that we live our lives out here on this earth, but we are not citizens of this earth. If we are believers in God, if we have given our lives to Jesus, then we are citizens of heaven. That's what it says in the Bible. And as citizens of heaven, we live by different rules. Okay? There are rules that govern the kingdom of God. And if we want to experience the fullness of God's goodness and abundance, then we need to live by those rules. So I'm going to talk about just a few of those things this morning. The first one is honor. The number one rule, in my opinion, I'm not a scholar or anything, but in my opinion, the number one rule in the kingdom of God is honor. I believe honor is at the heart of love. I don't think you can love someone if you don't honor them. So, this is out of Matthew chapter 15, verse 4. I don't think that's the right verse, sorry. That's okay. Jesus is just talking about the importance of honoring your father and mother. And at another point further in the same section, he talks about that it's not just your actions and your words, although those are critically important. Your actions and words show your honor. But beyond that, the Lord even looks at your thoughts. And if your thoughts are dishonoring, that's going to have an impact on you. And it's going to have an impact on those around you. So the concept of honor is that you put the other person's needs as more important than your own. That you give them what they deserve, even if they don't deserve it. Does that make sense? So a lot of us, the number one, the very, you know, when you think of the word honor and the Bible, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? The first verse that has to do with honor. Thank you. Honor your mother and your father. The only commandment that has a promise attached to it, that it may go well with you. Right? Okay. Some of us struggle with this. Some of us had mothers and fathers that were not good to us, that did not display the love of Jesus to us, that did not honor us. Right? Honor does go both ways. You honor your children and who God created them to be. So this can be hard for some of us. But it is a biblical truth that if you are living separate from honor, you are living separate in many ways from the Lord. That there are places where you are going to run into walls in your journey with the Lord if you are not doing what He has set up for you to do. Honor does not mean that you have to put yourself in positions to be hurt again or wounded again. It doesn't mean that you... It doesn't mean that you put yourself in positions of compromise. Honor is not the same as being a doormat. Okay? Just want to be clear about that. Honor means that you walk yourself through that process of forgiveness, which we're going to get to in a minute, and you are able to give those people that maybe didn't treat you kindly over to the Lord. And you say, they're yours now. And in as much as I am physically able to, I will show them honor. So when you do have to be together, you know, Thanksgiving or Christmas, and hopefully this doesn't apply, what I'm saying doesn't apply to most of you, but I know that there are a lot of broken families and that this is an issue, right? Maybe some of us have wonderful families that we still struggle to honor, right? We have loving parents that it's still difficult to honor sometimes. But I would just set this in your mind as the standard, that this is what the Lord expects of you. It's not optional. And it can be a huge block to what He wants to give you. So honoring your mother and your father, again, isn't the same as being a doormat. If they're being rude or nasty to you, it's okay for you to say, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to talk to you right now. Let's talk again when you're feeling nicer. It doesn't mean you have to put up with stuff. It just means that the way you treat them and the way you deal with them follows the basics of the kingdom. It's consistent with the fruits of the Spirit. Okay? Kindness, gentleness, patience, love, self-control. Missing one or two. Goodness. That is your standard. That's what honor looks like. We talk a lot in the teaching world about it's nice to know about things, but we need to know what they actually look like and sound like and, you know, how to do them. So when we talk about voice levels, that's great, but we need to practice voice levels, right? We need to know what zero looks like and sounds like. We need to know what level one looks like and sounds like, so we practice it. Same thing with honor. What honoring looks like and sounds like is kindness, gentleness, self-control, patience, forgiving over and over again if necessary. Right? So sometimes you might need to end interactions with people, but you do it in a way that's honoring. That's loving. Okay. So honor is the number one rule of the Lord's kingdom. The second way to create an atmosphere that ushers in abundance is with gratitude. And this has been something that I personally have struggled with. I don't know about you guys, but I sometimes, for some reason, my brain is wired to see what's missing from a situation. Does that make sense? Some of us are just wired that way, where we, when we look at a situation, we see what's needed. And it's a good thing. The Lord made us that way on purpose because we're created to help and to solve problems, right? And that's a good thing. But being wired that way, seeing what's missing, seeing what's lacking, seeing what needs to be fixed or changed, can often lead you into a place where it's difficult to be grateful for what is. Right? Because you're always seeing what's not. So if that's you, if you are hearing what I'm saying and you're saying, oh yeah, that's me too. I'm a problem solver. I'm a fixer. I always see what needs to be done, not what's already been done. Then just, I want you to just close your eyes for a minute. Lord, we just thank you that you created each of us unique and different, and that you created some of us to be problem solvers, to recognize what's needed in a given situation. I thank you, Lord, that that is a good way that you have created us to be. That is from you. And in the name of Jesus, I break off any spirit of negativity or any spirit of it's not good enough that can rise up out of that place. If that's you, just raise your hand for a minute if you recognize that that is something that you struggle with. Lord, I just thank you for these people that are bold enough to come before you and ask for more. Lord Jesus, we just want more of you, more abundance, more goodness. So I just pray that there will be an overwhelming understanding of all that you have given them in their lives today, this week, this month, that they will be constantly overwhelmed with gratitude, that they will be smacked in the face, Lord Jesus, with your goodness every single day, that they will be overflowing with laughter and joy, that they will feel overwhelmed with all that you have given them. In the name of Jesus, amen. Yeah, but you gotta say it on the mic.
Oh, so sorry. Let me try pausing.
Well, I didn't really think that was me, and then as soon as you started praying, the Lord brought to my mind how I have that attitude toward myself, not necessarily situations. But how you can think of yourself as not enough, and like how I look at, a lot of times I look at myself and think, I need to be better at this and this and this, or the places where I lack from being a good enough Christian or close enough with God or whatever, rather than being grateful and thanking him for what he has put in me and where my strengths lie. And so he just brought that to mind as we were praying. And so I just wanted to, I don't know, I just felt like I needed to share that, that to be grateful about who you are, because we all have things to celebrate wherever you are in the journey.
Thank you. We're running out of time, you guys. Oh, my gosh. Okay, moving on. Gratitude. I could talk a whole sermon on that, I think, but I won't. Just make sure you've got it there. Gratitude. The third one that ushers in his kingdom abundance is giving. And this has been demonstrated to me in such a powerful way. I just can't even tell you. If you guys have been around for a while, you know that I've been struggling financially for a while, that there's a whole lot of things in the process of the divorce that I'm going through that have been extremely financially unfair. Extremely unfair. And I'm not just saying that because it's happening to me. I'm saying that objectively, lots and lots of other people are also saying this is outrageous and unfair. And so last spring, I was hit with another, like, multiple thousands of dollars that you need to pay so-and-so and so-and-so. court-ordered stuff. And I was broken about it, just broken. And, Lord, how can I keep doing this? And I had bills stacked up, and, like, I was paying the power bill one month and the gas bill the next month, you know. Has anyone ever been there? Yeah. And, like, trying, you know, putting stuff on credit cards that you shouldn't be putting on credit cards, like groceries. And because you can't not pay the court. Like, if you don't pay the court, you go to jail and you get more fines, and it's really bad. So you have to pay that. So there was other things I did not pay. And I was struggling, just like, this is wrong. I'm serving you. Where, you know? Why am I struggling like this? And the Lord really brought it front and center. Like, you're not giving. You're not giving. And I went, I don't have anything to give. Are you crazy? I don't have anything to give. How can I give? And, you know, the Lord just reminded me of that loaves and fishes story. Only got three fish and five loaves of bread. Whatever. I can feed 5,000 with that. Right? You're looking at your finances from an earthly perspective. And as long as you're doing that, it's going to look really bleak. I mean, I was the disciple. Can you remember we talked the week one when it was just introduction week about the disciples, you know, with like their little half a loaf of bread and a third of a fish. And Jesus is like, okay, go feed those 2,000 people with that. And, you know, the disciples are like, here's your little piece of fish, and this is your bread. Good luck, you know, because I've got to make this stretch to feed all these people. If I was a disciple, that's what I'd be thinking, like, are you kidding me? What? Who eats and who doesn't today? Right? But in God's kingdom, that's the earthly perspective. But in God's kingdom, everybody eats. Doesn't matter how much there is, everybody eats. Right? And there's leftovers by the basketful. So the Lord showed me this, and he asked me to step out in faith. Have you guys seen the, this is what it felt like, so I'm going to just share this with you real quick. Have you seen the Indiana Jones number 3, where he's with his dad? You know that one? And they journey to find the golden cup that makes you live forever, whatever, the cup of Christ. He gets to the end of that journey, and he has to go through all these, like, traps, you know, where he could get shot with arrows and have boulders fall on his head or whatever. And he gets to the very end, and he's standing in this little doorway. Do you guys know the scene I'm talking about? Maybe most of you do. And he's on the edge of a cliff. So he looks down, and it's just down into nothingness. And you look across the way, and there's another doorway in a cliff face that's opposite him. And there's nothing. It's clear that you're supposed to go from this doorway to that doorway, but there's nothing in between it to go across this huge ravine. Right? And in the end, he does this. You guys remember the scene? He closes his eyes and he puts his foot out. Oh gosh, I can't do that. I still have leftover stuff from my concussion. I'll fall right over. Okay, but he closes his eyes and he sticks his foot out and he just does this, right? And he lands on a path that was there the whole time, a bridge, but you couldn't see it. It was like invisible. That's what it felt like for me. I went to the women's conference, and the Lord said, I want you to sponsor a child. They were asking, you know, people to sponsor children. And I said, I have my own children that I can't feed. How can I sponsor another child? And he said, just do it. Okay, fine. So it was clearly a calling. And so I, you know, they were handing out cards, and I took a card, and it's this cute little girl, and she's like, she's 16, she's like a teenager, and her, she's an orphan. Both of her parents have died, and she's, you know, being taken care of in this missionary, this place that they've set up for orphans in Tijuana, Mexico. And so I'm like, okay, that's nice, you know. And then I go out to give them the money that you have to pay for the child, and I start looking at this card a little more closely, and she has, she has three little brothers. Sorry, I'm not supposed to cry. I don't have the right mascara on. And she has three little brothers. And I just said, oh, come on. Are you serious, Lord? Okay. I was like, I can't support the one and not the others. I just can't. So I signed up to support all of them. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm going big. You know what? This has always been my, this is who I am. This is who you created to me. Go big or go home. And so I'm going big. I'm going all in. I do not have this money. I don't. But I'm not signing up for one. I'm signing up for four. Because you've got me in abundance school. And I want what you have for me here. So I signed up to support four orphans in Tijuana, Mexico. And it's not cheap. But I also got my, the Lord also made it very clear I haven't been tithing since the, well, for a long time. I was honoring my husband when I was married, and he did not want to tithe. So that was... And then after we were separated, it didn't ever feel like there was, I just never did it. I'm not going to make excuses. I just never did it. Okay? I didn't have enough. Lord said, you got to start tithing. So I started tithing. 10% of my income. Every month. Without fail. That was just a couple months ago. The Lord loves you right where you are. You know what? You don't have to be embarrassed about it. There's no shame. The Lord loves you right where you are. So I started tithing, and I started supporting these children. And you would not believe what has been happening in my life financially. I mean, you just wouldn't even believe it. I am not kidding you. I had someone call me, who does this, from the office down at the school district and said, hey, you forgot to send in your form for those, you know, what was it, 35 hours worth of work, you know, that, and we've got the money sitting here. It's like $1,300. We want to pay you, so send in your form. I'm like, what? I didn't even know. I was like, but they changed our pay structure and everything last year. I was like, I thought that was just included now, you know. She's like, no, this is on top of that. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. Thank you very much. And stuff like that keeps happening. Like, tax attorney calls me and he's like, actually, your tax return is going to be like way more than we thought it was going to be. Really? That's awesome. Bring it, Jesus. So I just want to, I'm saying all of that, not to honor my, you know, bring any glory to me, but just to say that following the design of the Lord, doing what he tells you to do, being obedient to him, and I don't mean obedient to the law. Don't get confused. I mean obedient to Jesus. Jesus never asked me to tithe before, personally. like one-on-one. I know it's in the Bible, but he had never come to me before that moment and said, you need to start tithing. And when he did, I said, yes. When he said, it's time, you need to start tithing, I said, yes, absolutely. I mean, I might have like, a little bit, but yes, of course, I'm going to step into what you are calling me into. Because it's always been good. It's never, ever not been good. When the Lord calls me into a place, sometimes it's hard, but it's always been good. Right? So I would just encourage you, if you're not already, ask the Lord if he wants you to give someplace. Because as you give, it will be given back to you, pressed together, running over an ocean. I don't have time to talk about the blocks.
Shoot.
But I want to end by saying this before I end. I want to say this. The devil is active. He's alive. Thank you. It says in the word, he's like a prowling lion. Wandering around, looking for those that he can devour. Listen to me. As a child of the living God, the devil cannot take your inheritance away from you. Do I look like you? Is that why you're making fun of me? He cannot take your inheritance away from you. He can't. So you know what he tries to do? What he cannot take from you, he will try to convince you to give it away. He can't take it. So he's going to try to convince you to give it away. And how do we give it away? We give it away by what we believe in our mind, by listening to the lies, by being too scared to step into the places the Lord is asking us to step into, by believing we don't deserve it, by feeling, letting ourselves get caught up in guilt for what we didn't do right in the past, right? I could sit here and like spend all day feeling bad or being ashamed about all the years I didn't tithe, right? That's an option. It is, and some people live there. But there is no truth and no goodness that comes from that. That is not the Lord's way. He does not want you to live in guilt or shame about the things that maybe you haven't gotten right in the past. That he created you forward. Your eyes are in the front. Your legs move you forward. It's hard to walk backwards, right? It's hard. You can't see where you're going, first of all. But your legs don't bend that way. You're made to move forward. You're made to look forward. God made you that way for a reason. It's because you're supposed to be walking forward. So don't, if there's any place where you are letting guilt or shame or fear hold you back, I would just encourage you today to bring that to the Lord. If this has like bubbled something up in you that's deep, if you're recognizing that there's something in you that's deep in this place, would you please get prayer today? Please, there's people here that will pray with you one-on-one. We can dig it out. Dig that talent out of the ground, baby. Right? Yeah. You don't have to live there. We can walk forward with it into the place of abundance that the Lord has prepared for you. So keep that in mind. What the devil can't take from you, he's going to try to convince you to give it away. Recognize what's going on up here. Recognize when it's not in alignment with God's truth about who you are, about what you deserve, about what the Lord has for you. Because it's bigger, y'all, it's bigger than you can even imagine. That's all I got. I'm going to quit there. I got more. I'm going to quit. I want you guys to have time to chat. Lord, I just thank you for what you are doing in this place. I just thank you for the ways that you are breaking us free of poverty mentality, breaking us free of looking at things from the limited earthly perspective. I thank you, Lord, that in exchange for those things, you are giving us freedom an abundance and a kingdom perspective, that we are able to see what you see, Lord Jesus, that we can see the ways that you are multiplying everything in our lives, our giftings, Lord, our calling, our time, our finances, our love, the fruits of the Spirit, Lord Jesus, inside of us, that you are multiplying all of that and bringing abundance in the places of lack. Thank you, Lord, for all you do. In your name we pray. Amen. Yeah, you guys are awesome. You guys are awesome. Just a quick reminder as you go into your group times, that everything that we say here, some of you weren't here the first week, so I'm just repeating real quick. Everything we say here stays here, so this is a confidential place where what we share, you are not at liberty to share outside of this room. And I also want to remind you not to allow yourself to take offense at anything that has been said up here from the front today, at the type of music that we play, at anything that is said within your group. If you recognize offense bubbling up in you, I just pray about it. Quick, just say, in the name of Jesus, I will not be offended. I choose not to. You have total freedom to take what's right for you and leave what's not right here. Okay? Filter it all through your prayer and the Word of God. That's all. Yeah, bless you guys.